set rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the eagle into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that may dip the tip of his finger in water, cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is coming. Thou art tormented. And beside all of this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house by five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Beginning with the 19th verse, reading, if correctly read, through verse 31 of the 16th chapter of the book of Luke. May we pray. Our Father, we wait in your presence and bow in your presence to acknowledge our sins. We confess our sins of lust and pride and self and foolish jesting, the evil thoughts, idle talk, ugly walk, or anything else, dear God, that you've seen in us that's amiss. We're sorry of it. We're ashamed of it. I was said in thy word that your hand is not short, that it cannot save. Your ear is not dead, that it cannot hear. But that our sins have separated between us and you, and hid it before your face. Oh God, we don't want you to be hid from us tonight. We want you to hear our prayers tonight. We're praying for these lost souls in this auditorium. Dear God, we want you to save those, our Father, who are here tonight. Some of the children of our own church members are lost. And in the age of accountability, no doubt they're going to be saved tonight. But our Father, there's scores of others, no doubt, in this mass crowd tonight who need Christ as a Savior. We pray, ever, Father, this will be the night when you'll form, as it were, vacuum over this place. Remove all of the demonic forces and satanic powers. Fill it with the power of the Holy Ghost of God. We pray, ever, Father, tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will come in sin-filling and soul-saving and in convicting and converting power tonight until people will know that you're God. Father, we pray that no lost soul will leave out of these four walls tonight without being saved. God, take thy servant, loose his tongue and illuminate his mind. Give him holy unction for this hour. Grant our Father that the Spirit of God shall have full sway through this service. May we hear the cry of newborn babes before the night's long. Oh God, for Jesus' sake, help us tonight, oh God. We'll be grateful to you for it when you do it. Lord Jesus, hear us while we pray. In Jesus' name, we beg it. Amen. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee then into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee then into the halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It's better thee than into the kingdom of God with one eye, than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. For thy worm dieth not, and where the fire is not quenched. Then shall it say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Those are the words of Jesus Christ, not of some preacher, not of some disciple, but Jesus. I come to you, my friends, tonight to talk to you about hell. I believe in a literal hell. We're living in a day when a lot of people want to escape the thought and the idea of hell. We're living in a day when it's so modernized and liberalized till the average congregation think of hell as some summer resort where they can put on the bathing suit and go swimming and never get blistered. Hells are still saying the hell it's always been, except it's being enlarged. The book of Isaiah tells us that hell is being enlarged. That's the only difference now than what it used to be. It is that it's larger. We stop to realize, my friends, you say, well, I don't believe in hell. That don't change it. They didn't believe it's coming to flood in Noah's day, but they got drowned just the same. They didn't believe fire and brimstone would come down and rain on Sodom and Gomorrah and burn them up, but they got burned up just the same. That 250 that stood out on the hillside and laughed at God, didn't believe God could do anything, and God split the earth open underneath them, and they went to hell in their shirt tails for them, and you won't hear them. I want you to know, because you don't believe in hell, doesn't change the fact of hell. My beloved, if there's a heaven, there has to be a hell. If there's a God, there's a hell. If there's a Jesus Christ, there's a hell. If there's a Holy Spirit, there's a hell. If it's a human soul, there's a hell. If it's a hereafter, there's a hell. And I want you to realize, my friends, Jesus had more to say about hell than all of the disciples and the prophets put together. Jesus spoke 13 times about hell to heaven's one. Every time he spoke one time about heaven, he spoke 13 times about hell. Why so much about hell? For the same reason you're driving down a highway. You should drive down the road. If there's no broken pavement or no bridge out, it's a long, straight, smooth road. You see no signs except occasion to see the number of the road. Or that there's a sign there saying there's a side road coming in. You get on down the highway and there's red flags and red lights and a flagman. Says slow down 40 miles an hour. Slow to 20 miles an hour. Slow to 10 miles. Bridge out. Broken pavement. Now, why all of those signs? Why are the red flags? Why are the flashing lights? Why are the flagmen? Because there's a broken case out there. And it means if you run into it, your life will be gone. Your machine that you're driving will be wrecked. So, my friends, isn't it a need of putting up flashing lights and red flags and flagmen on a smooth road where there's no pits? And so, as a result, it wasn't going to hurt anybody if they went to heaven. But Jesus didn't want you to go to hell. And so he put out flares, he put out signs, he put out warnings. 13 times to heaven's one, Jesus, God's own Son, said there's a hell you're going to shun. There's a hell to escape. Jesus said it's a place where the fire is not quenched, where the worms die not. He said if your hands keep and you can get saved, you better lose the hand. If your eyes keep and you can get saved, you better get your eyes plucked out. It's better to go to heaven with one eye than to go to hell with both of them where the fire is not quenched and the worms die not. Your foot's keeping you from getting saved, you better cut it off. It's better, my friends, to go to heaven, home, that they go to hell with both feet, where the worms die not and where the fire's not quenched. We're living in a day when a lot of people saying there's no hell. Judge Rutherford and his crowd going across the country putting out the no hell doctrine. Seventh-day Adventists are preaching the no hell doctrine. Old Herbert Armstrong from Arizona and out west is preaching no hell. But I'll tell you one thing. I believe Jesus Christ, in preference to Judge Rutherford, crowd Jehovah Witness, I believe Jesus Christ, for I believe Herbert Armstrong. I believe Jesus Christ, for I believe any Seventh-day Adventist preacher or doodling of any kind. I want you to know, my friend, if there's no hell, you can throw the Bible away. If there's no hell, there's no Jesus. If there's no hell, there's no God. The same Bible that tells you about God tells you about hell. The same Bible that tells you about Jesus tells you about hell. The same Bible that tells you about the Holy Spirit tells you about hell. The same Bible that tells you about a man having a soul tells you about hell. The same Bible that tells you, my friends, about the hereafter tells you about hell. And if what, listen to me, you look in the face of one who used to be an infidel. I didn't believe any of it. Until I could believe there's a hell, I wouldn't believe any of it. If there's no hell, throw the Bible away. Kill off preachers and burn the churches down. What are you running around praying and preaching for? If there's no hell, ain't no need of bothering anybody with preaching tongues. If there's no hell, there's no need of preaching. If there's no hell, there's no need of the Bible. If there's no hell, there's no need of a religion. Because you won't need it if there's no hell. But if there is a Christ and there is a Holy Spirit, there is a heaven, there is a God, there is a human soul, there is a hereafter, then you must face the fact that the same Bible that told you that told you about hell. As many times in the Bible it speaks of hell as there are chapters in the Bible. There's as many warnings in the Bible about hell as there is chapters in the Bible. So I'm telling you, my friends, you say, well, preacher, I just don't believe in hell. That don't change it. That don't change because you don't believe. You say, well, I just don't believe a loving God. A great loving God is sending you to hell. What you going to do with it if you don't put you in hell? Where else could it put you? Now, let's get that straight. When your loved one dies, your mother, your dad, your child, your companion dies. Did you love them? You say, yes, I loved them. Would you have kept them long if you could? Yes, you'd have spent all you had. You did, because we're trying to keep them yet. But when they died, there was nothing else to do but to carry them to the graveyard or have them cremated. Now, why don't you just put them in your living room on the couch? Call the man from the funeral home, dress up the corpse, and put it in the living room or put it in the guest bedroom on the bed. You say, well, they foul up our living quarters. All right, you take a speaking spiritual corpse to heaven, foul up the living quarters of God. It'll dethrone God. I'll tell you, my friends, before God tonight, God has no other office. It's not the will of God that any man should perish. God willed the death of no man. You wind up in hell, it's your fault, not God's fault. My friends, I want you to realize before God tonight that the God didn't will you to go to hell. He willed you to be saved and send his son to do it. But if you're so stiff-necked and hard-headed, you just go on and go to hell. Don't blame nobody. Don't holler God don't love. What else could he do with you? Hell's God's graveyard for the spiritual corpse of sinners. He couldn't take in heaven and learn the living quarters of him and his children. And so what else could he do but put you in hell? That don't mean God doesn't love because he puts the soul, cast the soul in hell. Because if God without Jesus, he has no other altar. If you let God have his way, you wouldn't have went to hell. My friends should have been saved. Because if God has his way, he come to seek and to save that which is lost. He didn't come to send it to hell. He come to save it. But if you won't let him save it, then my friends, it has to go to hell. Ain't nowhere else for it to go. So I'm saying to you tonight, my friends, you say, well, I just don't believe in hell. You'll breathe it in a split second after you get there. There was a man who lived every day as if there was no hell. He had his fine linen and purple. He heard something, dined and wined and danced and so on, had everything, but he died and in hell he lifted up his eyes. And my friends, you keep this one thing in mind. When he got in hell, he had his eyes. When he got in hell, he had his vocal cords. When he got in hell, he had his tongue. When he got in hell, he had his knowledge. When he got in hell, he had his memory. When he got in hell, he had a body. When he got in hell, he knew who was who. He saw Lazarus afar off in Abraham's bosom. When he got in hell, he's conscious that his brother's down in his father's house coming to hell after.
because of his influence. He was fed and living high, but died and in hell he lifted up his eyes. And I want you to realize, my friend, just cause you laugh off hell, just cause you laugh off God, just cause you laugh off Jesus, and he won't keep you out of hell either. Go ahead and lay your finery. Go ahead and whine and dine and dance and so on. Well, I've got one thing to say to you, my friends. There, one of these days you'll wake up in hell. Whether you breathe in hell or whether you don't, you're going to hell anyhow. My friends, you'll not breathe in hell. You can breathe, my friends, with sulfuric acid won't kill you. But if you drink it, it'll eat you up. You can breathe with strychnine won't kill you. But if you take it, it'll kill you. So you can believe there's no hell, but it'll still be hell just the same. I want you to realize tonight there is a hell. Whether you believe in it, whether Abraham Strong believes in it, whether Seventh-day Adventist or Jehovah's Witness believe in it, or whether God don't change it. My friends, the infidels have lived and laughed at God. They're in hell and God's still here. We still got God to deal with. In spite of the infidels and the atheists and the agnostics, God's still here. They live and die and go to hell, but God remains in creation. So you just remember, my friends, there's a hell out there in front of you. Forever let anybody tell you. God said it's there. The Word declares it. And my friends, it's there. Hell is a reality. Hell isn't any myth. Hell isn't any scarecrow. Hell isn't any mystic thing. Hell is a reality. He said, I don't believe it. Wait till you get there and you'll believe it. This man didn't believe it either. He got there, but he believed it. And it's bad enough he didn't want his brothers to come. It is bad enough he needed somebody to water his barge tongue. You hear me tonight, friends? When you think there isn't any hell, you know there's no hellers? A bunch of crooks that are living like the devil and they want to believe there's no hell. The life of them in their sins. That's what it is. They're hoping there isn't any hell because they know they're wrong in hell if there is one. So they're trying to brainwash themselves into believing there's no hell. So they can go on living in it. My friends, he said the wicked shall be turned into hell. God said that. And he has the power to turn in hell if he wants to. It ain't nothing you can do about it. You just keep that in mind. We stop to realize tonight. I want to talk to you tonight about the red light of hell. The red light of hell. There's a highway and a low way that opens to every man. And every man shall decide which way he'll go. Now we come to think about it together tonight. First of all, my friends, we're born into the world. I don't have to argue that. You hear, that proves that. That you've been born in the world, and so we don't have to argue the fact of whether you're born in the world or not. But here's what I want you to realize. We're born in the world, and according to John 5:19, it lies in the hand of the evil one. And we stop to realize that, my friends, because it lies in the hand of the evil one, according to Romans 3:19, it shall pass its guilty before God. And according to 1 John 2:17, it will pass away. This world lies in the hand of the evil one. You're born into the world in the hand of the evil one. It makes you guilty before God. And it's a place that's not permanent. This is not your permanent address. This is your temporary course. And my friends, you're not going to stay here always. 3 score years for reasons, slip 4. Then you're going somewhere. Where you're going? Hell or heaven? We're born in the world and it lies in the hand of the evil one, which makes it guilty before God, because according to Ephesians 2:2, Satan is the prince of this world. He's the prince of this world. And because he's the prince of this world, my friends, the next thing we see is that 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us that he blinds the minds of the unbelieving. He blinds the minds of the unbelieving. Not the eyes, but he befuddles your mind. He stagnates your mind. He confuses your mind. He mixes up your mind to keep you from seeing the truth. Then you go in the world, you come into contact with Satan, which is the prince of the world, and he blinds your mind. And then he starts tearing your eyes. John 8:44 tells us that he's a liar, and he's the father of lies. He's a murderer, and the father of the murderers. The devil starts lying to you. You come in the world, you're born in the world, you come in contact with Satan, which is the prince of this world. He blinds your minds and then he tells you a bunch of lies. What's some of the lies? One of the lies is, he tells you, as good as the church members, you don't need to be saved. I want to tell you tonight, if you haven't been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you're good for nothing but hell. That's all you're good for. I want you to know, God's Word said there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none good but one, and that's God. And your goodness in the sight of God's nothing more than filthy rags. That's all it is. That it make God hold his nose and gag if he looks at your filthy righteousness. He said, unless your rights exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case, under no circumstances, enter into heaven. And there was a lot more righteous than any of you. And yet Jesus said they had to have more than that, which is the righteousness of Christ imputed unto them, and they don't enter into the kingdom of God. Now you watch, my friends. He said, well, you're just as good as the preachers. You're good as the church members. You don't need to be saved. He lied to you. I don't care how good you are. You're a sinner by nature. You're a sinner by practice. Therefore, you're guilty before God. Then the devil said, why? You can't afford to be saved. There's too many crooked preachers. And I grant you there's some crooked preachers. But that ain't going to keep you out of hell. Because some of us preachers crooked, they don't keep you from going to hell. Preachers, I know some preachers are crooked. They'll have to screw the coffin on them when they're there. But that ain't going to keep you from going to hell. I'll tell you that now. And I want you to realize tonight, you say, well, I'm better than the hypocrites. I'm better than a lot of the church members. Well, God pity you if you're not better than some of them I know of, you ought to go to hell. Tell you that for sure. I want you to realize, my friends, we come into this world and we come in contact, see, and Satan tells us a bunch of lies. He said you're better than the hypocrites, and God will honor that. He won't honor nothing but Jesus Christ and the shed blood of the Son of God. You just keep that in mind. You say, well, preacher, I just don't want to be in that church of them hypocrites. Well, God bless you, so I got news for you. I want you to know one thing. You're already in there with them. Hypocrites is going to hell, and if you're a lost sinner, you're going to hell. And the devil's your both of your papas. If you're a hypocrite, you're the child of the devil. And if you're a lost sinner, you're a child of the devil. Headed the same place, put you in a sack and shake you up and pull you out. Couldn't tell who to pull out for it. You're the hypocrite. You say, well, now, preacher, eh? I'll tell you right now, there's so many hypocrites in the church. The devil said, why, you're better than hypocrites, and there's no need of getting in there with them. You listen to me, my friends. I'm not denying you. Say, well, that ain't no lie. There's too many hypocrites in the church. I say, amen. And I say, there's a lot of hypocrites in the church. I'm not going to tell you this now. Yes, we've got a lot of hypocrites, to my disappointment, in the church. I remember one time, I tried to get a man, his wife and children, member of the church, and I tried to get him to become a Christian. He said, you got too many hypocrites in the church. Just clean them out, I'll get saved and get in. And well, we did. So we had a church clean, turned out 136 and had 26 left. I drove by and told him what we'd done. He said, call the 26th name. I called the name of the 26th. He said, 25 of them as good as God ever let the sun shine on. But that fella is one of the worst things you had in there. And I said, oh no, you're just trying to alibi now. He said, all right, give me 30 days. If he don't go bad, I'll join, like I said. I'll get right with God. About 3 weeks, I heard that fella was into some immoral stuff, some disgrace to society. So I went down the road, and that fella seen me going down the road. He dragged me down. I pulled over the side. He came outside of the car and said, ha, 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 I told you. I told you. I said, what'd you tell me? Said, I told you had a hypocrite in the church. Oh, so-and-so, I guess you heard what he done, didn't you? See, I told you he is a hypocrite. I was like a little boy in the calf run over. I didn't have nothing to say. Because he's telling the truth. I was in a hurry. He stopped me, and I'd lost some time, and I speeded up, going on down the highway. There's an old buzzard sitting down there pecking on a rabbit. I thought, well, he'll fly before I get there. And I just speeded up, and just about time I got that old buzzard side to fly, and he come up and hit my windshield, busted buzzard all over me. So I kind of got buzzard on my mind. I drove on down the road. So I got thinking about the buzzard. The vultures, you know, these old big blackbirds hunt something dead. They're very interesting. They're a very peculiar type of a fowl. You ought to watch them. They all time run around hunting something dead. Don't know they're hunting nothing alive, they're hunting something dead. Except for what? You let them find a dead snake or a dead bird, and they'll fly out and eat it. But if they find a big old dead cow or dead horse, you watch them. They won't eat it. They'll fly down and peck on it. And if he's good and mellow, they still won't eat it. But they'll leave that old carcass and they go all over the community and tell all the bushes, come on, I'll find where we can have a picnic dinner. A little bit you see that bush and come back and have a bush in that area, isn't it? They'll start chirping and they'll fly down in on that old carcass and they'll have a hallelujah time eating up that dead carcass. They'll eat till they can't stand no more. Then they'll fly off on a dead limb on a tree or a fence post and send that and sit down and they vomit it up and go back and eat them some more. Yeah, we got a bunch of hypocrites in the church. But I hate when the community find out I was a bush with a hunting bone. You just let some ordinary church member go bad. There's some ordinary, won't be much about it. But you let a deacon or some school teacher, superintendent, preacher go bad. That old cuss in the community. They'll go down there and watch and say, hey, come here. You heard about that preacher? You heard about that deacon? We don't claim to be nothing. We wouldn't do nothing like that. That's the way of them deacons. That's the way of them preachers. That's the way of them Sunday school teachers. And they'll go watch them and see all that sin in the life. Then they'll fly down and go down to town, sit down on a nail keg or a window sill, and whittle their shit and spit that back of juice. And everybody come down and say, hey, hey, heard about the preacher? Heard about the deacon? Hey, hey, heard about them good church members, didn't you? Oh, you've done like an old boss until you find your dead big juicy hypocrite. And you feel something coming up, everybody comes down straight. Yeah, we've got some big deadness, rottenness in the church. If you want to be a person that is able to hunt strong, go ahead. And I'll tell you one thing, fella. Don't forget what I'm fixing to say. If you're waiting for all the hypocrites to get out of the church, to get saved, you as well get a fan in your hand and a summer suit on and get ready to spit hell, you headed that. There never has been a church without a hypocrite in it, and for your information, there never will be. Jesus selected 12, and he got one crook to the script. That was the devil, and when we take in 300 or 400, we'll finally get some devils. And I want you to know, my friend, there'll never be a church without a hypocrite in it. Never has been, is now, and never will be. So if you're waiting for the hypocrites to clear out, get saved, you're as sure for hell as you're in this church house tonight. And you just remember that. Now, if you want to go to hell, we'll catch yourself. I decided how long you're going with them. It's bad enough to put up with them 75 or 80 years, much less put up with them through hell. All the world come in contact, Satan calls us sin, blinds our minds, deforms our minds, and tells us a bunch of lies. And then, my friends, as a result of it, with all the world come in contact, Satan calls us sin. Romans 3:23, all is sin and comes short of the glory of God. Not a one righteous, no, not one. We've all sinned. Just not John Jones and Bill Smith, but bless God, the Bible says, we've all sinned. Not a one righteous, no, not one. My friends, we stopped to realize Psalm 51:5 said in iniquity was I shaken and sinned, and my mother conceived me. Yes, sir. We're born in sin, shaken in iniquity. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one, the book of Job said. And so as a result, he tells us in the Word of God that we come in this world with a sin nature, and by nature we're the children of wrath, even as others. We've all sinned. We've all born in it. We're shaping it. And we come in the world. He said we go forth in our infancy life. Little bitty babies life? Yes, ma'am. If you don't believe it, wait till some blizzard this night and I think as long as that stick hanging off the drip of the hat. The wind buzzing around the corners like something blowing in the jug. Real cold blizzard on. You heard it.
Here you came to the world, you're born to the world,
and Satan's the prince of this world, and you got in contact with him, he calls you to sin. Sin brings forth death, and then you're facing that. You can go to life through Jesus Christ, or you can go to death through your own way. That's your decision. Now then, right here is the red light of hell. Right there. What? Those light bulbs? No, sir. That's light that I give to you. I thought I was going to speak on the red light, singular, of hell. What is it? The shed blood of Jesus Christ. The cross of Christ. If you go beyond the blood of Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. If you pass up the cross of Christ, you're going to hell. The cross, my friend, the cross, if you please, is the red light of hell. You ignore the cross. You run by the cross. You trample the blood of Jesus under your feet. I don't care if you're a preacher. I don't care if you're a deacon. I don't care if you're a church member. I don't care how good you're living. If you rejected Jesus Christ, if you've not accepted the shed blood of Jesus as a sacrifice for your sin, if you've not accepted it as atoning death, you're lost tonight. You're on your road to hell tonight. So as a result, the cross of Christ, the shed blood of the Son of God, is the red light I want to talk to you about. Now watch it. We all travel this road this far together. Now then we can go either way. We can let Jesus die in our stead. Through him we'll have life and heaven. But if we reject his death, his sacrifice, and refuse him, then we're headed down. Now you go down here to town, you run a red light. Stop light. Sometimes the law don't see you. But if the law catches you, they'll carry you to judgment. They'll carry you down before the court. Cause you run a red light. Cause you run a stoplight. Alright, what? After death comes the judgment. Hebrews 2:27. After death comes the judgment. And then notice, the hour of judgment is certain. Romans 14:7 tells us that the hour of judgment is certain. Understand? After death comes the judgment. And my friends, it's coming. And there is no escape. The hour of judgment is as sure as death. It's one that the man wants to die, after death comes the judgment. You've never known anybody that didn't die except the ones God caught up. There it is. We all die. Just as sure as we're headed for death, we're headed for the judgment of God. We're headed for God's judgment. I want you to realize that, my friend. All right, notice. Romans 3:2-5. No escape for those who despise God's goodness. No escape if you despise God's goodness. There's many escape. Of what? Of the judgment of God. What is God's goodness? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He so loved you, my friends, that he let his Son die for you. You trample that blood underfoot and ignore his Son's death. And my friends, there is no hope for you. He took your place. What is the goodness of God? Can you illustrate? You've heard this story over and over, but it illustrates what I want to say. Yonder in the mountains of the mountain country, there was a little boy come to school. And they had a professor that had the school to make some rules. They hadn't been able to keep a teacher at that school because the mountain boys were up, they wouldn't stay with them. Young man, about 90-pound young fellow, little city fellow, applied for the school. They said they'd throw you down the mountainside the first day. Couldn't get nobody else, and finally agreed to let him go. He got down there, rough mountain boys looked at him and laughed how it'd be easy to run. So when books, look time came for everybody to come in from to be in the classes, he said, now I'm your new teacher. And we'll need some rules to go by. They said, yeah, I'll make some rules. Said, I don't make them. You make them. One of them said, thou shalt not fight. One of them said, thou shalt not curse. One of them said, thou shalt not cheat. He went on and wrote them down. He said, now if you have rules, we'll have to have penalties. They broke them. They agreed to that. Sure. What's the penalty for cheating? 5 licks on the back. What's the penalty for cursing? 3 licks on the back. That's the penalty for playing hooky. 5 licks on the back. That's the penalty for stealing. Oh, that's a mean thing. 25 licks on the back of a cooler. said, now then, you've made the rules and made the penalty. You don't mean a girl, good man, and enforce your laws, and you want me to let them go. Said, we want you to do right about it. School went on. Every day is fast, and missed some lunches. When they missed the lunches, the teacher began to watch and caught a little boy stealing the lunch. When recess was over, he called them all in, called his boy up and said, son, did you steal the lunch out of that desk? Said, yes, sir. Said, how come you to do it? Said, mister, about 6 months ago, my daddy died. About 3 months ago, my mama died. And I had a cow and a drink turned me up, and she ran off, and I can't find her. And for a couple of weeks, I ain't had nothing but bark on the trees to eat, not hungry. And when I smelled that food, I couldn't keep eating, and I didn't eat it. He said, son, do you know that it means 25 licks on your back without a coat to see? He said, yes, sir. But I said, I'd rather be beat up than to starve to death. He said, all right, pull your coat off, Ned, on an old overcoat. He thought it was a frame-up among the boys. But when the lad pulled off his overcoat, he had nothing but a pair of waistbands, and they hanging in string. You see, I'm a rib never jointed his backbone. His stomach was already swollen to call him out, and nutrition shut in. That was a delicious, that starving boy. But to save the confidence of those kids, he had to lift the lash to whooping. When he started in, they all up on him and said, hot, hot, don't you hit that boy? He said, I wish I didn't, but y'all made a rule and you told me to enforce it. He said, Professor, didn't say whose back it has to be put on. Said, can I take his whipping? He ain't able. The professor said, son, would you like for that big boy to take your whipping? He said, I'll let him till I die if he will. The old boy got up and come down to Annie, all the boys cheered him as he went down, threw his coat off. Professor lifted the lash and started to whip him. Grabbed his hand and said, hold it, Professor. Said, I thought you were going to take his whipping. Said, I am. But he ain't got on no shirt, no undershirt. I'm going to take it. I'll have to take my shirt off my undershirt. He did. He said, there's my bad back. I won't put in 5 red whips that'll last me while I get home, so I can show my daddy I took his whipping for him. And that professor stood there in tears and whipped that boy's back. When it was over, he said, you're through? He said, yes. The boy ran back to his desk. He didn't know what he was going after. He reached in, got his lunch, and come up there and hugged the little old boy and said, I took your whipping, but it didn't feed you hungry. Look, here's my lunch. He is too. The others, he had the bear lunch around. He ate till he couldn't eat. And that old boy went up and kissed him and said, I took your whipping. And it said, but you ain't got no home until now, but you got one now. I'm going to take you home and you're going to be my little brother. My friend, wasn't that old boy good to that little orphan boy? Wasn't he? Now that's what it was. God said, you sinned, you got to die. Jesus said, Father, let me go down there and die for him. He said, but you'll have to have your back with you. You'll be in Brookside. He said, that's all right. God let his son come down there. They pulled his beard out, plucked it from his face and tore it. They pushed crowns of thorn on him. According to Isaiah, they beat his teeth with gravel stones. They whipped his back till his bleeding was red the flesh. He shed his blood, and then he went and died and said, Father, into my hands I come in my spirit. He gave his life for you. Because he loved you so much, he suffered for you. Now, if you despise that and trample that under your feet and turn your back on the cross and ignore it as the judgment of God, then, my friends, I want you to know you belong in hell. That's where you belong. After death comes the judgment. No escape for those who despise God's goodness. God's good enough to provide a sacrifice. He shed blood and gave his son to die for you. And you despise it, you reject it, you trample it on the feet, you deserve hell. You drown in hell if you're that mean. Then, my friends, you'll be found guilty of trampling the blood of the Son of God underfoot. And when you're found guilty of violating the stop sign, $50 fine, 30 days in jail for reckless driving. My friends, when you pass up the red light of hell, You fall off into judgment, found out you trampled the blood of the Son of God under your feet. And your punishment won't be 90 days, or 30 days, or 100 days. And your punishment will be an eternal punishment in hell. Psalms 9:17, the wicked turned into hell. Matthew 25:46, these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Who are these? These who've ignored the cross. These who trampled underfoot the love of God, the blood of Christ. He said over in the book of Moses, the book of Hebrews, he said because of the law of Moses, man died with two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye, of all who have done despite of the spirit of grace, and trampled underfoot of the Son of God, and the Holy God. So my friends, if you ignore the cross, if you ignore the shed blood, if you ignore the fact of Jesus Christ, then you'll be found guilty when you're judged, and your punishment will be an eternal punishment. It's an everlasting punishment. It's forever in hell. God said it's a place of everlasting punishment. Jesus said it was. He said it's a place where the worms die not. He said it's a place where the forest never quench. He said it's a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. He said it's a place where there'll never be rest day or night. He said it's a place where the smoke will send itself forever and ever. He said it's a lake of fire. He said it's where the worms never die. He said it's a place where there'll never be anything but punishment forever and ever. And I want you to know, my friends, tonight, there it is. Staring you in the face now. Hell, literal hell, an everlasting hell, an eternal hell, the wrath of God, the judgment of God, vengeance is mine, recompense is mine. I want you to know, my friends, if you pass up Jesus Christ, if you trample the blood of Jesus on the feet, then you're guilty of the shed blood. You're guilty of passing up the cross. Your payment is everlasting function. Now listen, you can take lemonade. Sulfuric acid. You can call it lemonade. You can call it orange. But if you drink it, it's sulfuric acid. It'll kill you. Regardless of what it's labeled. You can take strychnine. You can call it sugar. You can call it salt. But if you eat it in the right, take it in the right mouth, it'll kill you. And so, my friends, you can call hell anything you want to call it. You can call it the grave. You can call it Hades. You can call it Gehenna. You can call it anything you please. But my friends, God Almighty said it's a lake of fire. God said it's an everlasting punishment. God said it's forever. God said it's eternal. Don't make any difference what you think. It's what God said about it. And I want you to realize Jesus Christ said it's so bad in hell. It'll be better off, my friend, if you've got a hand kicking you get saved, cut it off. If you've got a foot kicking you get saved, cut it off. If you've got an eye kicking you get saved, tear it out. It's better to go to heaven without an eye than to go to hell where the fire's been the quakes and the worms dying up. My friend, he said the wicked will be turned in hell. And we stop to realize, let's look at some more things. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. God said, depart from me, you cursed everlasting fire. Prepared for the devil and his angels. And let's listen again. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whoso was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. The fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, and sorcerers, and all idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burn with fire and brimstone. My friends, God's word says the lake of fire that burneth with fire and brimstone. God's word says the place where the smoke ascendeth up forever and ever. God said it's a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. God said it's a place where the devil and all of his angels are going to be cast. God said it's a place, my friends, that the fire will never be quenched, the worms will never die. God said it's a place where vengeance is mine, recompense is mine, I will repay, says God. Look at it. All the world, come in contact with Satan. Satan calls you sin. Sin brings forth death. Thank God we don't have to stay dead. We can get alive through the Lord Jesus Christ and help him in the end. But if we ignore Jesus Christ and turn our back upon him, you can join the church. You can be baptized. You can preach. You can pray. You can pay. You can shout. You can live as clean as an angel. But if you ignore Jesus Christ, you'll go straight to hell as the devil will.
it's Jesus or it's hell. It's the way of the cross or it's hell. There's just one way. Jesus said, I'm the door and the sheepfold. And then through me you'll be saved. All that in any other way is thieves and robbers. Neither is our salvation in the other. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved except through Jesus Christ. You hear this Baptist preacher tonight. There's just one way of heaven, and that's this way right here. Jesus Christ. Death on the cross. Shedding of his blood. Giving of his life. And you take him as your substitute. My friends, he took your whipping. He took your scourging. He died for you. And you ignore that. You trample it on a foot. You run by. You pass it up. You in hell in a little while. But my friends, thank God if you accept what he did on Calvary for you, you've got life, you've got heaven, you've got a home, you've got eternity with happiness. There it is. God help me with this. War and hell come in contact with Satan. Satan causes sin. Sin brings forth death. Get life through the Lord Jesus Christ, heaven and the end. Look at it again. War and hell come in contact with Satan. Satan causes sin. Sin brings forth death. You are dead in trespass and sin. But if you let Jesus die in your place and give his life in your place, that gives you life through the Lord Jesus Christ and gives you a right to heaven. Sin is, as a punishment, is eternal punishment. Everlasting punishment. The punishment is hell. Hell where the worms not a. Hell where the fire's never quenched. Hell where there's neither day, less day than night. Hell where the smoke of sin is up forever. Hell where the demons are chanting. There's the screams of souls in hell. There's the gnashing of teeth in hell. There's the torments of hell. Vengeance is mine, says God. There's the God who pour out his wrath upon you. The cruel venom, the grace of God, and the curse of ass will be poured upon you. My friend, stone and fire be cast upon you. Because you trampled on the foot the blood of the Son of God. You've ignored the Christ. You've ignored the cross. You've gone your way. You've hardened your neck and smitten it against God. And there comes some destruction, and you wind up in hell. Nobody's fault but yours. There was a way of escape. God had the way. He put up the sign of the cross, pointing heavenly. And you hear me tonight. There's just one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. Preach all your life and go to hell. Go to all the churches and go to hell. Be baptized and you become acquainted with every tadpole and never for 20 miles. Still go to hell. There's just one way. It's Jesus or it's hell. Forever and ever. I want you to know tonight, my friends, may God help you see it. War on earth, come in contact with sin. Sin causes sin. Sin brings forth death. But thank God you can get life through the Lord Jesus Christ. But if not, then judgment, eternal punishment, and hell. You see it? You fall away, you come in contact with Satan. Sin causes sin. Sin causes death. You're spiritually dead. But if you let Jesus die in your place on the cross, accept his death, accept his sacrifice, his love, then you get life through the Lord Jesus, and God gives you heaven. But if you ignore that, then God finds you guilty of the judgment, then he'll punish you eternally in hell. You see it? All the world can come to that sin, because sin brings forth death, life through the Lord Jesus Christ, heaven and end. If not, judgment, eternal punishment in hell. Now that's as plain as your nose on your face, as big as mine, you can see it. I want you to realize, my friend, that's the only way. The only way. I want you to realize tonight, my friends, you're on your way to hell without Jesus Christ. I want you to see some things tonight. I want you to realize tonight, my friends, your condition before God. Some things I want you to see. You're lost. You're without God. I want you to realize that. My friends, did you stop to recognize the fact that you're without God? Without Jesus Christ. Some things I want you to see. Because you're without Christ, my friends, there's your condition. It's like that dirty rock. Curling around on the brittle tail of life. 60-mile-an-hour age, 70-mile-an-hour age, giving a gas, upcoming age, space age, rushing through life, yet the flames of hell running up underneath your soul without Christ. There's hell running underneath. There's hell underneath you, friend. You stand on the shaker, burning bridge of hell.
There, my friend. God, stop.
The word of course being told. 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 Come on now.